Good evening. Okay. It's hard for me to conceptualize that this is the last class for this semester. Am I correct? Next week is final exam week. And as I understand it, you will be out for 2 weeks. I was looking at the schedule and it said December 21st to January 4th. Just want to remind you of one thing, and that is January 5th through 8th is LTMA Impartation Conference. I think students normally attend that also, but I'm pretty sure you'll probably get something in your email or some notification about that. So rather than this class meeting probably that Tuesday, because the impartation meeting will begin on a Tuesday. You may have classes that Monday night, I'm not sure, but you'll get something, hopefully. Okay? I know everybody always wants to know about final exam. This is for those of you who are here, as well as the internet students. Your final exam will come from chapters 1 through 4 in your book. It will also cover the assignment that we gave that apostle. I think, was that the praying grace? Praying grace? Okay, yeah. You may have a question or so from that. We also covered in this class the names of God. Remember that? And the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We started on that, and we will go back to that again later on in the chapter. But it was just about encouraging everybody, if you have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, to receive, and then also instruction on how you can help others to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I would recommend that you go to your portals on, is it Haiku? And look at the quizzes. I think the quizzes are going to be your best bet, because normally when I'm doing the final, I go back to the quizzes, and that will be a total of 11 quizzes and then 2 exams. Look at your 2 exams that you've had before and the quizzes, and that will give you a pretty good idea of what your final will be like. Every now and then I do change up the questions, so, you know, it might be pertaining to the same thing, but it'll be a little different. We will complete chapter 4 tonight. Anybody has any questions at all? You want to make sure that you know what prayer is. from the book, according to the author, you know, what is prayer? You know, you want to know a little bit about what's the purpose of prayer? Okay. And we will be concluding this chapter 4, on the biblical principles for effective prayer. There were some words that I also gave you that I said I wanted you to tuck under your belt. Anybody remember those words? Grace and faith. Yes, yes. And there were some scriptures associated with those words. Okay, I hear Ephesians. Is it? Okay, Ephesians 1 and 3. John 19, 30. Ephesians 2 and 6 and Ephesians 2 and 8. You will see that again. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to come together and to study your word on prayer. We are so thankful, Lord God, for all that you've said this semester, for all that you've done. So thankful, Lord God, for our apostle and all the instructors and all the students, Father. Thank you for their homes and their families. Now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, as we do this review, we ask you to help us. Amen. Open our ears, let us hear. Open our eyes, let us see. Touch our hearts and help us to understand. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Last class, we were talking about... Okay, here it is. How can we develop our faith in the name of Jesus? Remember, we talked some about the name of Jesus and how that name has authority. We talked about in three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. We also talked about the three heavens. Remember that? Okay. And so now we're talking about how we can develop our faith in the name of Jesus. The author said that the first thing that you want to do is in prayer, you want to make a list of the things that you desire. And you want to ask the Father in the name of Jesus anything that is in line with God's word. And he said, and these things shall be done for you. Our author, and I think we got to number two. So that was number one. Number two, and we're talking about how can you develop your faith in the name of Jesus. Number two, be specific when you pray. Amen. James 1, verses 6 through 8. Then he says, number three, approach God in faith. And I remember us talking about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. One reason many believers are unable to develop a strong prayer life without ceasing or discouragement is because they do not experience any physical manifestations when we pray. You know, that's what we want. We want it quick, fast, and in a hurry, and it doesn't always happen that way. You have to know, and that's why when we talked about John 19:30, you know, Jesus says, it is finished. You've got to know when you pray, it's already done. Okay? It's already done. And that helps to just change your prayer life. If you're praying from that viewpoint, you're more confident, and all you're doing is, you know, you're taking your faith and you're believing what God has already done through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about building our faith or developing our faith in the name of Jesus. I had a little note on the side of number three, meditation. That's just something I'm just throwing out there. Meditate. And then pray by faith, not by emotions. You know, it doesn't matter if you feel anything or not. Keep on praying. Amen. I've heard apostles say several times, sometime when you don't feel anything, that's when your prayers are being more effective. Amen. Number four, how can you develop your faith in the name of Jesus? Ask the Holy Spirit to help. And I remember we talked about that on last week, Romans 8:26. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us when we pray. Otherwise, we would be praying on our own strength, independent from God. Amen. Now, you know, your prayers are not going to be effective if that's what you're doing. You know, I don't know if you've ever prayed something the way you wanted it to be. Amen. You know, rather than asking God, well, Lord, what do you want? You know, how do you want this, you know, to be? Your will be done. Amen. Amen. That's a good point there. We could go on and on and on, but we're not going to do that tonight. Amen. The implication is that if we surrender our will when we pray, he will take control of our prayer, and thus our prayers will become more effective. So we want to surrender. And then we looked at that word help in the Greek. A-N-T-I-L-A-M-B-A-N-O, which means to take the place of, one who takes us by the hand, together, with, or against someone. This indicates that the Holy Spirit takes us by the hand and leads us to the Father in the name of Jesus. He takes our place. And when we pray against our enemy, he guides us and helps us. Remember, it is so important to invite the Holy Spirit to help us when we pray. Why do we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us? The author says, because the Holy Spirit knows God's will for his children. He knows, amen? And he's the one who reveals it to you while you're praying, amen? What should we do before we start praying? We need to invite the Holy Spirit to help us to pray and to show us the Father's heart and his will. Now, that's it. That's important. Because a lot of times, you know, when we're praying, remember we talked about praying in the Spirit? I think that was on last week. And sometimes, you know, your mind is not really there. You're praying, but your mind is not really there. But when you're praying, what you want to do is, you know, develop yourself to the point that you're not just praying. Like I told y'all, Reverend Montrell called it vain babblings. You know, you don't want to do the vain babbling. You want to pray. You want to know that when you're praying, you're talking to God. But then you want to listen. Because what the Holy Spirit is going to do as you begin to pray, he's going to begin to speak to you. He's going to reveal, as the author says, the Father's heart and his will for you. Amen. Regarding whatever it is that you're praying about. You know, sometimes it's just going to be like a word, you know, a phrase while you're praying. And you can ask the Holy Spirit, you know, to interpret or to reveal to you what it is that he's saying, and that he'll do it. He'll help you to understand it. And sometimes you automatically know. You know, just that one little word. You know, I shared, I don't know if it was this class, you know, one of the attacks, and you know, you're on the table in the lab, and they're doing the tests and all of that. And these words just came, it's like they floated from under the sheet. I had been praying. You know, and the words were, it ain't nothing. You know, and at first I just brushed it off. I said, okay. You know, didn't think about it at all. But then I remember Apostle in a sermon, you know, he had said, it ain't nothing, you know. And I said, Lord, is that you? You know, it's like, is that you? And, you know, and that's what he was doing. But, you know, we've got to practice listening for him. And whatever phrase, whatever word he gives you, you know, I find myself, you know, I'll go to my concordance and I'll start looking up, you know, that particular word, and I'll see. And then when you start doing that, eventually a scripture will jump out to you. It'll jump out. And this is exactly what he's trying to tell you at this point. And then you're allowing him, you're giving him the free course to reveal to you what it is that he wants at that particular moment. Amen. So that goes along with the meditation. Again, we invite the Holy Spirit to help us to pray and to show us the Father's heart and his will. We need to invite him to take control of our personal agenda. And he says for the day, and I say for the rest of your life. Amen. Amen. And then number five, how can you develop your faith in the name of Jesus? The author says, pray in line with God's word. And we know that. Pray in line. You got to know the word in order to pray in line with the word. And he gave us 1 John 5:14 and 15. And we know that says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, remember his will, his word, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. And I've also heard apostles say that there comes a time that we have to go from just believing to knowing. Amen. From just believing to knowing. And once we, you know, get that under our belt, it's already done. You see, you know, it's already done. I'm not just believing this. It's done. Amen. 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 All right. Why does God not answer the prayer of many believers? And then the author takes us to James 4 and 3. And I wrote here in the Amplified. So I want to look at that in the Amplified. James 4 and 3. And it says, you ask God for something and do not receive it because you ask with wrong motives, out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires. Amen. So, you know, that's what he's saying. That's one of the reasons that we don't get answers to some of our prayers. But we're not like that. We get answers to our prayers. Amen. I understand what he's saying. He says, you know, sometimes we're not praying in line with God's word, but according to our own pleasures, our own desires. Why do we have to pray according to his will? Because God will only stand by his word. In Matthew 24 and 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, amen, shall not pass away. Heaven and earth, but not my word. Amen. When we pray in line with God's word, God has obligated himself to fulfill his promises. God is real and truthful to his word. If we ask in line with his will, he will do for us what we ask of him. And then he gives us some scriptures, Jeremiah 1 and 12, Romans 3 and 4, and 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. And these are all in your book already. God's integrity and reputation. If God does not answer our prayers, his integrity and his reputation's at stake. And then he took us over to Numbers 14, verses 14 through 16. You know, I had to smile when I read that. Then I remember, I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. Numbers 14, 14 through 16. And, you know, I like the King James. I think I'm not really sure what version the author is using, but it's a little different. It means the same thing, but it's a little different. Verse 14. Now, well, you got to know what's going on here. God is upset with them children of Israel. He is really, really upset. And he says in verse 12, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, verse 13, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For you brought us up this people in thy might from among them. Here we go, verse 14. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Verse 15. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he had slain them in the wilderness. We're talking about God's integrity, and God's reputation is at stake. Amen? You know, he's saying, now, if you do this, that's what they're going to say. You know, they don't know you. They don't know you like we know you. They're going to say that you killed them because you weren't able to bring them up. Amen? And so, you know, even when it comes to us and the things that we're dealing with, we got to understand that we owe it to God. Amen. For him to answer our prayers. You know, we gotta get His word. We gotta meditate on that word. We have to pray in faith, because when God is able to answer us, then He gets all the glory for it. Amen. Not us. He gets the glory for it. We didn't do it. He did it. Amen. According to the word, what steps should we take when we pray? And the author gives us four steps. Number one, we need to decide what we want from God. I think there's a scripture that talks about being double-minded. Don't be double-minded. Make sure, you know, just stay with God. Stay praying until you know what it is that you want. Should I do this? Should I do that? What you want? You know? And then just pray, and he'll reveal to you what His will is for you. You know, people say, well, you know, I can't find in the word investments, for example. You know, should I invest in this one or should I invest in that one? Well, pray. And God will reveal to you where to invest, when to invest. You know, I was one of those people caught up in the stock market when it really, really blew. I mean, you know, it fell. I mean, and I was nervous, and a lot of my friends were nervous. I mean, people were scared. I was scared, too. And I lost like 50% of my portfolio. Blew my mind. But thank God, you know what God did? I have a brother who invests. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, my friend said she's going to take all of hers out because she has just lost so much. He said, no, don't take it out now. He said, ride it out. Like, ride it out. What if I lose it all? That's all I kept thinking. What if I lose it all? He said, no. And God was using him, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know nothing about the stock market. I didn't know nothing about no mutual. I didn't know nothing about none of that. And he said, let it stay. And for some reason, I just believed what he said. You know, I said, okay, I'm going to let it stay. Well, my friend took hers out, you know. And do you know that portfolio came back up? Eventually. It didn't come back up overnight. I want you to know that. And, you know, I was able to recoup all. Amen? Amen. I was able to recoup it all. And I said, oh, my gosh, I hope that never, ever happens to me again. Because in the natural, you're thinking, I'm losing. Let me get it out of here. Let me sell this. But no, that's, you know, my brother explained. He said, no, not right now. He said, if you don't need it, let it stay. In other words, I'm not a gambler. Let it ride. You know, and that's what I did. Amen. And God will do that for us. God will do that for us. You understand? You know, he knows. You know, first place, He gave us the money. Amen. That we were able to invest. And He's not a losing God. No, He's a God of increase. He's a God of love, and He wants us to increase. Amen? Amen. So, again, praise the Lord. I recouped. Glory to God. We will decide what you want. Number two, look for a biblical verse that supports your petition. You know, find it in the word. Remember this, find the place where it's written. You know, get your concordance, like I said. The best way that I always try to do is ask the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, give me a word. You know, and sometime that word will come. You might be sitting up there in a commercial. You just never know. Always listening for God. Always looking for God. You know, He can speak. He can speak through the commercial. He can speak through the grandbaby. You know, they will say things every now and then, and it'll direct you to a scripture. It will always direct you to a scripture, and you say, "That's it." You'll know. You'll get that little velvety feeling on the inside. This is the scripture that I'm supposed to be standing on. Amen. So again, Find the place where it's written. Number three, ask God. See, then once you find it, now you got to ask. Yeah. You know, we have not because we ask not. Okay, so you got to ask. And then number four, you must believe. This is where your faith comes in. You must believe that you will receive what you're asking for. Amen. And I had these little notes. Do not doubt. Meditate on the promise. Give glory and honor to God with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 You know, after you pray it, just go ahead on. And then from that point on, now you're going to thank him for it. You're not going to keep asking and asking and asking. You know, we thought we had to just keep on asking. There might be some things that you can, you know, just keep reminding them. Lord, I'm just here to put you in remembrance. You know, I'm just reminding you. But, you know, for the most part, you know, you want to thank him that he heard you and that he has answered your prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think we've had a pretty good class. I think we've learned some things this semester. We put some things under our belt. Next semester will be just as fast. You know, like I said, we have a lot that goes on in the spring. But it'll be good. It'll be good. And before you know it, second year students will be graduating. First year students will become second year students, and everybody will be looking forward to everything. Again, any questions at all? You're going to do fine on the exam. I'm not a hard taskmaster. I found that out. I'm kind of easy. The questions I give you are things that I want you to know. You know, that's what I try to do, and I try to make it easy. You know, that might change one day, but for right now, you know, I don't even give trick questions. I say, no, I want the questions to be real simple, real, real simple. But then maybe one day I'll change my mind. Who knows? No, who knows? Who knows? Y'all be blessed. Y'all have a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I'll see you next semester. I hope. I hope.